All right, buckle up, everybody. We are headed straight to 1860s Iowa for this deep dive. You sent in a case brief. It's a wild one. Bonds, a missing courthouse.
Yeah.
And this thing, it's a legal principle, right, called estoppel. It'll make your head spin, I swear.
Yeah, you know, so interesting about Cromwell v. County of Sac, it's how this, like, dispute from the 1870s still shapes legal battles that we see today. And it really all comes down to this one question, you know. When should a ruling from the past actually affect a new case? It's rarely simple, you know what I mean?
Okay, so to set the scene here, Sac County, Iowa. They want this, like, brand new, shiny courthouse.
Right.
So they start issuing these bonds, people invest, and then nothing. There's no courthouse. Poof. Gone. And leaves people like Mr. Cromwell in this case holding these bonds. Worthless. Suddenly. So he decides, all right, I'm going to sue.
Right.
But the county here, they throw a curveball. They basically say, nope, can't sue us. There was this prior case about these same bonds with a different guy. Means you're out of luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where things get complicated. The county, they're leaning on this whole concept of res judicata, which for anyone who doesn't know is a legal principle, basically. It's supposed to prevent the same issue from being, you know, brought up in court over and over and over again. But this case is a perfect example of how applying that principle fairly, it's tricky.
Okay, so break down time. What does this brief actually tell us?
Yeah.
We know Sac County issued these bonds, right? Back in 1860. Big promise, 10% interest, payable to, well, whoever held them. Bearer bonds is what they call them. Cromwell's sitting on four of these things, each worth, wait for it, $1,000. Plus, some interest that hasn't been paid.
Right, and the county's whole defense, it really hinges on this earlier lawsuit from a Mr. Smith. And
you
guessed it, also about these bonds. The court back then ruled those bonds were void, meaning basically worthless if they weren't bought before maturity and, like, for actual value. So that county is basically saying, hey, Smith's case already decided this. Cromwell's claim is covered too, case closed.
Wait, hold on. Even if Cromwell got his bonds in a totally different way than Smith, he's just automatically out of luck. I mean, does that seem fair at all?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We have this need, right, for some finality in legal decisions. Like, things have to end eventually. But then there's also this need to make sure that everybody gets their shot, their day in court. In this case, Cromwell v. County of Sac dives headfirst into that whole tension.
All right, so there's this word in the brief, estoppel. Honestly, it sounds like something you'd do to a garden hose, not a legal principle. What is that all about?
Okay, so estoppel in simple terms. It's basically when someone legally can't make a certain argument in court or claim because of things they've done or said before. It's like, you know, you led me to believe one thing, but now you're trying to argue something completely different. Doesn't work like that. And what the county is trying to do here is use the Smith case, right, to create this estoppel situation saying, hey, that earlier judgment, it covers anyone holding these bonds. Doesn't matter how they got them.
Ah, so it's like a roadblock. They're trying to use this previous case to block Cromwell completely. But doesn't that mean that, like, anyone holding these bonds is just out of luck?
Yeah.
No matter what, even if they had nothing to do with that Smith guy or his case.
Exactly. And that's precisely where the Supreme Court had to step in and really, really analyze this whole scope of res judicata and estoppel. And, you know, they had to decide. Was it really fair to apply that earlier judgment so broadly, potentially affecting people who weren't even involved in the first place?
And the Supreme Court, for what I'm seeing, they were actually split on this, right?
Yeah.
We've got a majority opinion, a dissenting opinion, is like a legal showdown.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You've got Justice Field writing the majority opinion, and then Justice Clifford, he's got this fiery dissent. And there are different views. It really highlights how complex this whole thing is, this balancing act between, you know, finality in the law and individual fairness.
Okay, this is where it gets really good. Tell me, what did these justices have to say? Let's start with Justice Field. Majority opinion. What was his take on this whole estoppel situation?
So, Justice Field, he draws this really important distinction. He says, you know, a judgment, it can't just automatically bar a different claim, even if it's about the same subject, you know? The focus, he says, has to be on what was actually argued and decided in the previous case.
So not just the general topic, but, like, the specific points, right? The legal arguments made.
Exactly. And And Justice Field argues that Cromwell shouldn't be prevented from proving that he got those bonds fairly in good faith and before they were due. And that's a point that was never even decided in the Smith case. He actually wrote, and I love this quote, "The inquiry must always be as to the point or question actually litigated and determined in the original action, not what might have been thus litigated and determined."
So basically he's saying, like, don't punish Cromwell for something that wasn't even an issue before.
Exactly. He's all about, like, a very precise application of res judicata, drawing clear lines, you know, making sure judgments don't have this, like, overly broad reach.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But we can't forget about Justice Clifford, right? Dissenting opinion. What was his perspective?
So, Justice Clifford, different angle entirely. For him, it's all about preventing this never-ending cycle of lawsuits. Finality, you know? He firmly believed this case, Cromwell's case, should be thrown out. Because for him, the parties involved in that central legal question, they're essentially the same. His argument is Cromwell could have and should have jumped into the Smith case, presented his evidence then, and he had this really strong statement. When once finally rendered, the judgment must be considered conclusive, else litigation will be endless.
So Justice Clifford's all about, like, closing the book, making sure a decision is final. No legal merry-go-round.
Exactly. He prioritizes that finality. You know, wants to make sure the legal system works, runs smoothly. For him, letting Cromwell essentially retry a similar question, even with different facts, that undermines the whole purpose of res judicata.
So we've got these two legal giants, clashing philosophies. Justice Field, he's for individual fairness, even if it means revisiting old judgments. And Justice Clifford, he's all about finality, making sure the legal system doesn't get bogged down. Who wins this legal battle royal? We'll find out soon.
Okay, so Let's break down Justice Field's logic here a little bit more. He really digs into the Smith case, right? And he points out that the court's decision back then, it only dealt with whether those specific bonds in that case were void, specifically in the hands of someone who, you know, hadn't paid for them before they were due.
So it all came down to whether Smith was, what that term, a bona fide purchaser, someone who bought those bonds, you know, in good faith. No clue about any issues.
Exactly. And that's where Justice Field saw that crucial difference. He was like, hey, Cromwell's claiming he got his bonds completely differently. Remember that whole estoppel thing. It needs those prior actions, you know, where someone was misled. And there's nothing here that suggests that even happened. So Justice Field's point is the Smith case shouldn't just automatically shut down Cromwell's chance to prove he was a bona fide holder.
It seems like, I don't know, common sense. Almost. Why punish Cromwell for what someone else might have done wrong, especially if he had nothing to do with it?
Right. And that was a big deal for Justice Field. He argued basically that every bondholder should have their opportunity to prove that they gave those bonds fairly, regardless of what happened in some other case that they weren't even part of.
So he was saying, like, each bond, each person holding one deserves a separate look. Don't just, you know, lump them all together.
Precisely. No, let's switch gears for a minute. Look at Justice Clifford. Dissenting opinion, totally different approach. He's really focused on that need for finality in legal matters, you know, and he argued that, well, Cromwell could have theoretically joined the Smith case, right? Or presented his evidence then. So he should just be bound by the outcome, even though he wasn't, like, officially named in the case.
But wouldn't that create, like, a really dangerous situation?
Yeah.
Where anyone who's holding these Sac County bonds, it doesn't matter how they got them, they're just automatically out of luck because of this one case.
That's the logical conclusion, yeah, of Justice Clifford's argument. He truly believed that if you let Cromwell basically retry the same issue, even with different facts, it would mess up the efficiency of the whole legal system. And could lead to, you know, endless lawsuits.
It's like this clash, right? Between making sure things are fair for each individual versus making sure that the courts don't get stuck in this endless cycle of basically the same case over and over.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. It's this complex balancing act. But before we reveal which side the Supreme Court decided to go with, let's step back for a second and think about some of the real world stuff here. I mean, this goes way beyond just the courtroom.
Okay, yeah. It's fun to, like, dissect the legal arguments and all that, but what does all this mean for, you know, regular people, us living in the 21st century? Why should we care about some old case about bonds in Iowa?
Well, because the principle here, right, this idea of really scrutinizing past judgments, It's relevant to us every day. I mean, think about how often we see situations where someone's trying to apply a really broad generalization to a specific situation without thinking about that unique context.
Oh, all the time. It's like when people say, oh, this one study showed X, so Y must be true for everybody. But they're not considering individual differences or other factors.
Perfect example, Cromwell v. County of Sac. It's a reminder to be cautious about those kinds of sweeping judgments. Look at the specifics, the exact claims, the arguments presented, the evidence, you know, before just applying some old ruling to a new situation.
So it's kind of like judging a book by its cover, isn't it? Or in this case, judging a situation by some vaguely similar thing that happened in the past. Got to dig deeper.
Exactly. It's critical thinking. It's about not letting a past decision just automatically dictate how we handle new information or a new situation. So back to our legal drama, drumroll please. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, sided with...
Don't leave me hanging. Cromwell, Sac County. And what did it all mean, this big decision? What happened?
All right. So the Supreme Court, they went with Justice Fields' reasoning. They ruled in favor of Mr. Cromwell, reversed the lower court's decision, and said, okay, he gets the chance to prove he bought those bonds fairly.
Cromwell. Yeah. It's his day in court. Justice is served. But what did this mean for the whole legal world beyond this one case?
Oh, this was a big one. It really established this principle that judgments, they have limits. They don't just create these blanket bans, you know?
Yeah.
They only settle those specific claims, those specific issues from that case. It reinforced the idea that even if situations are similar, they need to be looked at individually.
So it's a win for fairness, a win for making sure everyone gets their shot to present their side without being, you know, automatically tied to someone else's legal battle.
Yeah.
What about Justice Clifford's concerns about all the lawsuits? Did the Supreme Court say anything about that?
They did, yeah. They acknowledged that finality is important. But the majority argued that preventing possibly unjust outcomes, that was more important than the risk of, you know, a few more lawsuits. They pointed out there are already things in place, like statutes of limitations and rules about repetitive lawsuits, to keep the system from being overwhelmed.
Like, we trust the system.
Exactly. They recognize that, yeah, efficiency is important, but not at the cost of justice and individual rights. And that's actually where we'll pick up in part three. We'll explore some of those broader implications of Cromwell v. County of Sac and how its lessons can help us, you know, navigate a world that's just overflowing with information and past decisions.
You know, this whole idea that judgments, they have like a limited scope, like we saw in Cromwell v. County of Sac, that's huge. Not just for the courts and law, but for, like, everything, right? Fairness in life.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine, like, a world where one court decision could just create this ripple effect, impacting tons of unrelated cases and situations? It would be like saying, well, because this one thing happened once, it's always going to happen that way, with zero regard for, you know, the specifics of each situation.
It'd be like saying, oh, someone got sick from a peanut butter sandwich once. All peanut butter sandwiches are dangerous now.
Exactly. And Cromwell v. County of Sac, it's like a shield against those kinds of blanket judgments, you know?
Yeah.
It forces us to look at each case, each situation, individually, on its own merits, the specific facts, the specific circumstances.
We can't just assume that because of some past decision or a study, or even like a personal experience we had, that it automatically applies to something new.
Yeah.
Got to think critically. Avoid those big sweeping generalizations.
Right. Cromwell v. County of Sac, it's like it encourages us to ask these important questions. Okay, what were the facts in that old case? What legal arguments did they make? How similar is that to what's happening now? Is there new information, new evidence we need to consider?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Right. Or I guess in this case, don't judge a situation just because of some old ruling or event without, you know, really digging in.
Exactly. Look beyond the surface. Consider the context. Analyze the specifics before jumping to conclusions or making decisions.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Cromwell v. County of Sac, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from all this?
I hope this case inspires them to, you know, to be more careful about the information they take in, to be more critical thinkers. We are just bombarded with decisions, opinions, so-called facts every single day. Cromwell v. County of Sac, it reminds us to pause, to question assumptions, and to really carefully evaluate, like, how relevant is that past judgment? How much does it actually apply to this new situation?
Don't let the past, you know, dictate how you understand the present or limit how you see the future. Always question. Always dig deeper. And never be afraid to challenge, you know, the way things are. Who knows? You might just uncover something, some truth that was hidden before.
That's a great way to put it. It's about realizing that knowledge, understanding. It's an ongoing process. There's always more to learn. And sometimes revisiting those old decisions with a fresh perspective, it can lead to new insights, a deeper understanding of the world around us.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Cromwell v. County of Sac. It's amazing, you know, how a case from the 1870s can still teach us so much today.
The thing about legal precedent is it's always evolving, shaped by new cases, new interpretations, and it's up to all of us to engage with these principles, you know, critically, make sure they're serving the cause of justice and fairness for everyone.
I think that's the perfect way to end this. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and never stop learning.